This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. September is truck month at Sun Chevy. Come see their half-ton and three-quarter-ton Silverados and visit them online at sunchevy.com today. High of 73, low of 59. Clear skies expected throughout most of the day. That's fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. And now, got a phone caller at 412-928-9370 here on the Fan Early Morning Show. It's Roland from Castle Shannon. Good morning, Roland.
Hey, Nick, you know I'm a big fan of yours and Doran's, right?
I did not know that, but now I do. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, huge fan of you, your buddy. We've talked offline. The Down Goes Frazier, you know who we're talking about. We have a mutual friend.
Do we not? Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Al Levine, the talking machine. I love you guys.
Oh, I appreciate
I love Dorn. I love Pitt. Love the Steelers. Love Kenny Pickett. Crowley, not so much. So Meatloaf had a song called Two Out of Three Ain't Bad.
That's that's funny. That is. Well, you know.
No, it's serious. This is serious, and I do love you guys. And I think Crowley secretly loves Pitt. He needs some help. He needs you to encourage him.
He does. He's got to find his true identity as a Pitt Panther. Absolutely.
He's got to come out of the closet. And I mean, in so many ways, I wanted to come out of the closet. And then I wanted to go right back in the closet after the beatdown on Saturday. Here's my question.
Okay.
I want him back in the closet. I only want him to come out of the closet for today on the 13th. Happy Wednesday the 13th. 13th to 9th. Hey, here's a question for you, Nick. Real serious question.
Okay.
Why didn't Tomlin talk about playing their top five draft choice? The top five studs that didn't play in the first game. Heavy snaps. And why doesn't he talk about bringing in Byron Leftwich to replace Canada? Why don't we just talk about real stuff instead of Tomlin's word salad? What do you think of Leftwich, and what do you think about playing the rookies? I love you, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Roland. Thank you for that. I know Tomlin said about Joey Porter Jr., he was quoted in there just specifically that he didn't play him because what the personality of the 49ers was, you know, they were running the ball and you know, we didn't need him in a dime package. I mean, that's one excuse that, you know, I'm like, okay, maybe that makes sense. We didn't expect Dan Moore to turn back into open door Moore, so to speak. You know, he didn't have a great game. And I think, you know, Broderick Jones wasn't good enough in the preseason to take over, but then you watched Moore in a game and you have your doubts. So, I mean, that's just another example. Bringing in Byron Leftwich, interesting. I mean, I've said it for a while, and you know since you listen, but, I mean, several of you would know that now, too, if you've listened to me enough. You know that I'm not a big Matt Canada fan. I don't like how Matt Canada addresses media and, you know, makes comments because he doesn't really say much. And then you watch his schemes on the field, and they don't really do much either. So, yeah, anybody at this point may be better. Something new, something fresh, something modern. And if Leftwich could be a guy that does that, sure, bring him in. I don't know how logistical that would be for the Steelers to entice him, encourage him, or lure him to Pittsburgh. I'm not sure. But, yeah, anybody that is in Canada, I am all for, as long as they bring a new modern approach to the offense, and I don't think Canada has that modern approach right now, or he doesn't know how to make adjustments, because that team literally, the team on Sunday, the Steelers, had one bad drive to start on offense, and then they panicked, and they went back to what they used to do, and what they used to do didn't work. Got another caller at 412-928-9370. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's your name?
Derek.
All right, Derek, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about the fact that it doesn't seem like Harvin's getting much abuse this week just because of how bad the Steelers play. How many times are we going to have to watch Harvin get trotted out on fourth down and shank a punt and not change the field position? It's getting old now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you, Derek. I appreciate the call. Thank you. No, I mean, I think I brought that up. I don't know exactly where I did. We definitely talked about it on Monday, too, because that's where I was brought aware of this. I think Crowley and Dorn touched on that a little bit, that Presley Harvin and the special teams, Anthony McFarland was doing great on kick returns and setting up the offense for success, but then Harvin would punt the football, and the 49ers would still be around midfield, and that didn't really help the Steelers' defense anymore. And if you're wondering where I stand, I think I made this pretty clear. I think the defense did fine under the circumstances. I think the offense was definitely to blame more for that. And Crowley does not agree, but that's okay. It was just a bad game all around. The defense, though, I think was set up for failure in that game because of how poor the offense played. But also, I think that the special teams didn't help. And that's definitely a reasonable point to bring up, Derek, is that Presley Harvin did not help on special teams either by some of the punts he had. They just weren't efficient punts. And they kept the 49ers around midfield for most of those punts when they were executed. So, you know, that didn't help the Steelers' defense either. When a team like that chips away from midfield, they're more likely to score. And as you saw, they did score, and they had 20 points at the end of the first half. So, yeah, no, that's definitely reasonable. If you want to talk about Presley Harvin, I mean, the Steelers have more problems than that going into this game against the Browns. Punting should not be that much of a factor, but you're not wrong in saying that, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, the punts definitely didn't contribute, and they might end up being harmful in a closer game, or they might be harmful in, you know, any game where you want to try to keep it close and not give a solid offense on the opposition good field position. So, yeah, no, definitely a good point. It has kind of gotten buried. I get that. With all to talk about and all that the Steelers did wrong on Sunday, you don't really think about how the punts affected the game. But, yeah, no, they definitely did. I definitely understand. Yeah, that should be talked about, and Harvin should definitely be scrutinized for some of the punts he had and some of the field position that he gave the 49ers. Now, you don't need me to say it. It's been said plenty enough. It's a big statement game for the Steelers on Monday night to play at home on primetime football, the last game of week two. They're going to be the team featured, so it's a game that you really have to win. The Steelers did a good job last year pressuring the Browns, especially when Deshaun Watson came back, and they put pressure on them in the last game that those two played in the season, and I think that they can achieve that again, considering that the defense isn't, you know, extremely different, especially up front. Well, Cam Hayward's going to be injured, so that's a start. But the way T.J. Watt pressured him, Alex Highsmith still on the field, and then some of the new pieces that they have in there, I think as long as they pressure Deshaun Watson enough, they can get to him and be efficient on that end and not let the Browns get too carried away on offense. And again, it might have been a fluke against the Bengals. I mean, that's just one of those things that happens. The Browns play well against the Bengals. So I think that they may not be able to replicate that against the Steelers. And so I think that's what's most likely to happen. Although if Deshaun Watson does find proper form, I mean, you could argue that he was a little rusty last year as well, and I can understand that. But I have more faith in the Steelers this week, and I'm still kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm definitely disappointed, and I had a hangover after Sunday's game. But the hangover is now over, and I'm back to drinking again, and hopefully I'm not going to get too saturated with the Steelers' Kool-Aid, and you know, they can actually win, and it'll be a healthy amount of Kool-Aid drinking and success that they put back on the field. Because overall, I want them to do well, and I know all of you do as well. It's just frustrating because the offense hasn't done anything after, you know, we've been talking about and we've had insiders talking about over and over and over again that the offense, it's a different offense this year, and it didn't look like it. So frustrating at that, but, you know, I stay optimistic. You know me. I'm an optimistic person, whether I'm blinded by certain things or not. You know, I still have the faith. So I encourage you to as well. But your comments and your criticisms are all pretty reasonable. Everybody I've talked to personally over the phone line, the points you bring up have been pretty reasonable to this point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.